It is 25 and a half past the hour, past 9 o'clock here in the Central Time Zone of the U.S. of A. Don Clark joins us from Garden Valley, Texas. Dr. Don is a member of the board at Creation Moments, a biochemist by vocation. Say, you and we being David and I, over the years have talked many times about the way we live, because it crosses with all the kinds of topics we've talked about, Genesis and creation and the Great Flood and then COVID and vaccines and science and what people believe and how they react. And we've long decided that probably we should be living in the 19th century with no feedlots, with all the grazing animals having plenty of pasture, and we grow our own food and we live according to all the natural cycles and be close to the earth, and that's healthy, and we should get there. I'm looking at this article on green energy and I'm thinking, this might be the way.
Oh, yes, it might be the way, because if they have their way, and who is they? Well, it's all the climate change propaganda folks that are, and the globalists that are pushing the agenda, because it helps, you know, anytime you create fear in people, like, the sky is falling, and so therefore we got to do something right now, it helps those that want to get control of everything. So I don't think these folks are seriously, thinking that, gee, we just have solar and wind energy and that's going to solve our energy problems, because that is an extremely naive view. One, it's not solar and wind, as we've talked about before in this setting. It's not constant. I mean, when the wind stops, no electricity is generated. When the sun stops shining, which, you know, it does half the day at least, no more, and then you've got, clouds and all this other stuff, no more energy is generated. So that's not the long-term, solution to the energy problem. Plus, we have become dependent on oil-derived products in every aspect of our life. Everything. You can't think of anything that's manufactured today that does not have plastic in it.
You can't make it. You can't make a windmill without.
Yeah. No.
Oil.
Exactly. Without plastic. Without the. Yeah. Without the. The fossil fuels. Some may argue, well, you're not burning fossil fuels, but you're generating waste that kind of doesn't go away, and you're filling up your landfills, for example. The windmills in the don't last forever. As a matter of fact, I saw one study where they only last 5 years, which is not a really good, in my opinion, return on investment if they cost millions of dollars to build. Then what do you do with these big plastic blades? You've got to bury them. I mean, the only solution is to bury them.
And,
right?
And guess what? They're all piled on the semi trailer trucks with long trailers powered by gasoline and taken away someplace.
Yeah, well, certainly powered by diesel fuel. Plus, in order to make all of these things, everything in manufacturing is made with fossil fuel energy. It's kind of silly to even think that we are going to have a diesel truck, for example, a semi rig being powered by batteries. Not only would it add so much more weight to the vehicle that you can't carry as much load, and two, you're going to destroy your highways even faster, and three, you're polluting the atmosphere with more burnt rubber.
Tire dust, I guess, is the biggest pollutant along modern highways and city streets, certainly. And heavier vehicles would increase that. We're talking about an article from the Cornwall Alliance that addresses the whole matter of the errant thinking behind the green energy movement. And I'll just read a short paragraph from it. climate change may impact millions, but without fossil fuels and the infrastructures and products we have today that did not exist before the 1800s, we may lose billions from diseases, malnutrition, and weather-related deaths. Crude oil usage would ground the 20,000 commercial aircraft we have, more than 50,000 military aircraft, and leave the 50,000 merchant ships tied up at docks, and discontinue the military and space programs. I mean, how much of society will be... How can we regenerate that whole industrial base that has taken so long to develop, relying on, you know, science and technology? It can't happen overnight. So they're talking about creating a gap that may not be survivable for the race before we can regain the level of the standard of living that we've achieved over the last 150 years, say.
Well, in that, I mean, just think of the starvation. People like to order things online and have it delivered. I mean, you know, Amazon is working out systems to have it delivered the same day. I mean, you order before 1 o'clock or whatever it is, and you get it, you know, by 4 or 5. I mean, you know, that's gratification, almost instant gratification with your shopping. That would all be eliminated. Any imports would be eliminated, except that which you could, you know, carry across through horse and buggy, I suppose, across the border, which would take a tremendous amount of time. And of course, any vegetables and produce, for example, that would be shipped from, Central or South America, that would be, you know, would be impossible. Any goods from any other country across the seas, impossible. Air travel, eliminated. You know, all those things, and not to mention the military capabilities would be ground to a halt, because except for the nuclear submarines, everything else is powered by diesel. And so or gasoline, depending, you know, you got, of course, military vehicles that are powered by gas, but most of them are all diesel. So there would be an elimination of movement of any type of military vehicles, across. So we wouldn't have a defense system.
There's another aspect this I want to sneak in here, too, because the whole green energy religion is simplistic, and you mentioned the word naive. I can't believe these people are stupid enough to think they can just transition instantly within 10, 20, 30, 40, even 50 years and maintain the lives that we've come to know. Maybe we're overconfident because we live in the United States of America, and there are certain things we can do here to ease into it, but the rest of the world depends largely on the input of materials that they manufacture and then export to get money to buy their food. They are not self-sufficient like we are here. They don't have the means of growing the crops, distributing the crops. And if all that international transportation, the commercial transportation, is eliminated, they starve.
Yeah, well, it kind of, and you're talking about developing nations. I mean, developing nations.
Well, even Europe, Don. Even Europe, they import to make things to sell.
Well, that's true.
To buy the things to sustain their populations.
Europe would be in a tremendous problem. It would be a tremendous problem for Europe, as we already know from the Ukrainian war, where Ukraine, was shipping a lot of grain to a lot of different places, and then that was disrupted by the Russians, and this is extremely, extremely naive, unless the purpose is to get, like I said before, is get control of everything, and then after they get control of everything, well, now, we have a one global government, so there's no need of one country fighting against another, and so there's no need of the military other than a police force, a local police force, to keep people in line. Because there's not going to be a war. There's not going to be any other country. There's just going to be one global government, and that will solve that problem. Now, transportation between one location to another, there, I can't imagine that they would think that, well, we're all going to do this by electricity. It is, not going to happen. We've got to have some type of portable energy source. And I could see phasing over merchant ships, for example, into some type of nuclear-powered ships over time. But that as you said, would take a long time to do that conversion. And you'd basically have to wait until the current merchant ships are, come to the end of their life. They're ready to be scrapped, and you're building new ships, and then the new ships are nuclear powered, and can carry on the services.
We're talking about generations here, yes.
Yeah, well, generations. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen overnight, and that is the problem with a lot of this, especially with the idiots in government. Who say, we've got to change over to electric vehicles, and we've got to do it by, the year 2030 or whatever year you pick. California's already said that, and it's absolutely absurd, because why would you substitute a much more expensive vehicle for one that, is economical, that most people can buy, unless you're pushing people in the direction of the World Economic Forum, which says that you will own nothing and you will like it.
California is a model of what goes wrong. They're an oil producing state. They've shut down their refineries, presumably to protect air quality. So what do? They have to import oil to run the state.
Yeah, they're now importing, 60% of their energy is now imported instead of having, manufacturing or producing the oil, locally or offshore like they were doing. I mean, it's crazy, some of these proposals in the name of cleaning up things. You're still burning oil. I mean, whether you manufacture it yourself, produce it yourself, or get it from Venezuela, you're still burning the oil. So the air quality is not changing. And as we've mentioned earlier in the program, if you converted all the cars to EV, you've got more of an environmental issue than you did with burning the regular gasoline-powered or fossil fuel-powered vehicles. So these solutions are not really solutions, and they're not really going in the direction that would make life better. But as Europe has already experienced, it increases the cost of energy, and California is experiencing this. It increases the cost of energy anywhere where windmills and solar power has been put in to replace common electric generators. They have doubled the energy cost, at least. And that is going to, they want that to happen all over. And of course, as more and more of this stuff gets put in, then it's not only going to double, it'll triple or quadruple, which means that people, who could have afforded, their own home, for example, is going to be much more prohibitive. Not only because housing prices are going up, everything is going up. If energy goes up, if the cost of energy goes up, everything that you buy in the grocery store or anywhere else, the price of that is going to go up. It's going to increase because it all depends on the energy that you're using to produce it and to transport it across the country. And so, what we can look forward to with this climate change agenda is more and more people being squeezed out of the housing market, more and more areas of the world starving, actually, because food production is going to be drastically reduced. And people are not going to be able to afford even vehicles or transportation. And so, I mean, at least vehicles. So they're either going to be have to rent everything or lease everything. And that would put the globalist in a position of controlling everybody on the planet, which is obviously their goal.
We have to assume that for a plan that is so simplistic and naive and stupid, that these people are not necessarily stupid people. I don't want to point that finger at them, but there's got to be an ulterior motive, you figure. And you've nailed it, I think, there, and it's on the part of some somewhere to gain control and run the world the way they see fit, and that's always been the goal of man. That's you know, we're as good as gods here. Why not we just run ourselves and everybody be kind and everybody be nice, and to each his own, and from each according to their abilities, to each according to their needs. That's pure communism. It has never worked.
It's never worked, and it will never work, and it only leads to totalitarianism. And the people under that form of government suffer and do not have freedom. You know, the Bible, you know, it says, of course, that's, you know, our source of truth should be for Christians. You know, it says in John 8:31-32, Jesus said, if you abide in my word and I abide in you, if you abide in me and I abide in you, then you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Well, what truth is that that you'll know? One, you'll know the truth that the God the Father loves us so much that he wishes none shall perish and that everyone should come to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the number one truth. But the other truth is that all of this other stuff that is enslaving people is from the enemy of our soul. The Satan's job when he fell was to, is to maim, steal, and destroy. So he's out to destroy everybody on this earth. He's out to get everybody to worship him instead of the one true God. And when any, you know, human being or a group of human beings think that they want to be worshiped because they're influenced by the enemy, that leads to servitude from the rest of the population. And that's the direction that this is heading in.
And it's all based on the lie that we have caused climate change and that we can fix it in a few years, when the science behind it does not support that conclusion.
Yeah, no, not at all. It is, and even kind of Elon Musk, where, you know, we think, okay, he might be, I don't know, he might be in some areas working in the right direction, but having this idea that we'll just put reflectors out in space, out in our upper atmosphere to reflect sunlight so we don't heat up. I mean, can you imagine how catastrophic that would be? What happens when you have much lower solar activity and the energy from the sun goes down? Then we're going to have places that never froze freezing because we're blocking that energy to get to Earth. So, you know, these short-term, and I say relatively short-term, solutions always will end in disaster because it is using man's wisdom instead of God's wisdom. And so if we would just take our problems to God and say, hey, we got this problem, how should we fix it? I mean, he is more than willing and able to give us the answers. You know, it's we are going to always run into trouble. And that's, the direction that we're going here with all of this climate stuff that they're trying to push on us.
Well, the two most important commandments, love your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you analyze that and look at that, that's the opposite of what movements like this accomplish. Because love and care and compassion is simply absent from these plans.
Absolutely. And, believe me, the folks at the top, the folks who are pushing this are unloving people. You know, there's nothing compassionate about them. They are just in it for themselves.
Unless it's a passion for control, if you look at that. It's a depraved kind of passion. Yeah.
Yeah. So they do have the love of money, but, you know, again, the Bible tells us the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And so the love of money is driving this because, hey, I can just start a corporation. To manufacture these windmills, and the government's going to pay me billions in order to do it, and I become rich overnight. So if you happen to be buddies with the right people, you become billionaires overnight. And this obviously is in the tech world as well, whereas the rest of the folks are, you know, starving to death.
It's a bogus argument. Climate change and green energy, and it's an ideal that will wind up killing billions of people if it's pursued much farther by the powers that be. And I think we need to change the powers that be to maybe prevent that from happening. Don, take good care of yourself. We'll see you next week.
Certainly will. You too.
Yep. Bye-bye.